In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up, that by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. You know, so often when we think about how important it is that we feel connected to others, sometimes I can think of my own life and I'm like, I feel like I have had a boyfriend since I was probably 4 years old. And so having a male in my life has been something that it really took me a long time to finally get to the point where I was like, oh, I'm okay just being me and just knowing that I had to love myself first. Our guest today has gone on this journey herself. And the book that we're going to be talking about today is A Year Without Men, a 12-point guide to inspire and empower women. And we're going to be talking with the wonderful Allison Carman, life strategist, business coach, best-selling author of The Gift of Maybe, and her brand new book, this A Year Without Men. What a story. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, this book, you know, I knew some of the story because you and I are friends. So I knew some of the story, but reading it again, wow. I mean, it's so powerful. For those people, and I know you don't want to give the book away, but when we hear this title, A Book or A Year Without Men, what is that about? Does that mean like all men are bad? Does that mean like we need to take a year off from men? I'm sure I just can imagine the different questions in people's minds.
And you know what's so funny? I never really thought about how the title would be perceived. And it's funny, there's been a lot of pushback. Like, what do you mean? Do you have an anti-male platform? And what's so interesting is the book is female-centered, but it's not anti-man at all. It was an experience that I had when all the men in my life fell away. And, you know, what's so interesting is that if you would have called me on June 29th, 2018, and maybe we had spoken around then, I would have told you that, you know, my life was really in a good place. My business life was great. I had tons of clients. My first book, The Gift of Maybe, did really well. I have this podcast. My daughters were well. And I thought I was in this really loving, committed marriage for 27 years. And the next day on June 30th, my husband came home and just looked at me and said, I want to date other people. I don't want to be with you anymore. We could still have family vacations together and family dinners. And he started describing to me all the women that he was thinking about. And I fell to the floor. And I remember saying to him, are you joking? And he was like, no, I'm serious. And for me, that was just this devastating scorched earth moment. But within a 2-week period, my biggest male client of 25 years left me. All my other male clients were gone. It's like within a 2-week period, it was like, boom, 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 boom. And then I got invited to work at this all-woman company called the Motherhood Center. It's a day hospital for women who have postpartum depression. So in 2 weeks, literally, the most important, biggest men in my business, and my personal life, just gone out of nowhere, like the last thing that I ever expected. And then I started working at an all-woman company and I was surrounded by women. So this was an experience of a year without men. And what was so fascinating about it is that when all the men were gone, I started to see the places that I hid, the places I didn't love myself, the places I didn't feel valuable. And I was forced really to reckon with so many things that I had not dealt with. And so it was a very empowering year. It was filled with grief and pain, but it was also about realizations and empowerment and value. And my hope for the book is that, yeah, maybe some people will pull out of a relationship with men or spend a year without men or read the book and keep their life the way it is, but change internally and do the exercises and look at the places that we don't value ourselves and go back out into the world in a more empowered place.
Yeah. You know, I have to tell you, reading that scene in the book where you fall down to the floor, I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. I mean, it is a powerful scene. And it's one of those scenes that I think I feared my entire life in relationship and having a father who was unfaithful to my mother, knowing what that looks like when that's played out. Yeah. So, wow, did I really resonate with that? And also with what you're saying, that this book isn't about being anti-men. It's like, wow, what happens when we're not externally focused on that approval or that validation or even that sense of love from outside of us? And what happens when we go within? And I love the scene as well in the book where you start talking about when you started working for that organization and how different it was than maybe people sometimes, and you know, we can all be guilty of this, the stereotype of working just around women, that somehow it would be catty or some, you know, somehow it would be negative in some way. And yet it was this beautiful environment. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, and I think what you're saying from the beginning is that we don't realize that we're all in this patriarchal structure, right? Where someone has to be on top and someone has to be on bottom. And we all participate in it, you know, men and women, because that's the structure we're used to. And what was so interesting about this all-woman company is that I started to see the differences between this company and all the other companies I'd either worked for, or I consulted for. I always work with a lot of men. And I was in this meeting with a bunch of directors, a high-level meeting, highly educated, very successful people. And one of the directors started to cry and she just started to weep. And as she's crying, I'm first looking around thinking, oh my goodness, because corporate America makes you think that tears sink ships, right? And no one budged and no one cared. And she's actually giving a presentation while she's crying. And she said brilliant things and no one said a word. And after the meeting, I really started to think about how the structure in corporate America doesn't really welcome how women process things or women's emotions, because, you know, and they say women are more emotional, but when you think about it, emotions include anger, resentment, you know, all these other things. So when I really pushed, you know, put my back against the wall of it, like set like this, I was like, wow, isn't that interesting that her tears didn't affect anybody? Because really at the end of the day, it's not emotions that matter. It's when you put bad behaviors on somebody else. So her tears, she was not putting on anyone else. She was expressing how she felt. And so when I really looked at my career, I realized that I think men are more emotional at work than women are at the end of the day, because they're the ones that usually, you know, anger is something that you usually put on someone else. And when I look back at my career, I have never broken up a fist fight between two women, and I've broken up fights between men. So I just think that we, you know, we judge women so harshly, but at the end of the day, it's kind of not fair, because we have to look at all the emotions. And I think the truth is that women are not totally welcome. And so because we're not welcome, we have no place to put our power, and that we're judged. We're too nice. We're too mean. We're too this, we're too that. But at the end of the day, we're not allowed to be truly who we are. And I think that when women kind of start to see this and they're able to kind of stick to their authentic self, they're going to be more creative and eventually they're going to be more successful. And maybe corporate America is going to push back, but corporate America, it doesn't work. The social contract that corporate America has with its employees is broken. You know, there's no work-life balance. Women do not get ahead like men, if you look at all the statistics, and people don't feel cared for. And so there has to be a change. And so I think that's what I saw being at the Motherhood Center, that you could have a collaborative environment, a caring environment, one that you care about your employees, and become profitable and get a really high productivity level out of people. So it's been a real unbelievable realization, but it only happened when I was in more of a matriarchal structure that I was able to see that.
Well, and I think that that's true for any of us when we're like, think about growing up, people that grew up in poverty and didn't realize it. I've spoken with so many people who, even if they were in abusive, you know, circumstances, didn't realize it because they had blinders on, because that was all that they'd experienced. So when we're inundated in a culture where it is the patriarchal system, we have blinders on. We can't see that it's another way. And it's only in these kind of opportunities where we can kind of, like you said, it's like we pan back and all of a sudden we can see the bigger picture and see it more in its totality.
Right. Absolutely. And I'm not saying that, you know, women are better or men are worse. It's just this construct that's been created and how it doesn't welcome everyone.
Well, and I think that's an important message to get out there. And that's what I was hoping, you know, with my first question. It's like, this book absolutely is not anti-men. And it's not about us being in any kind of, you know, what do I want to say, male bashing in any way. And there's other ways to do it than the patriarchal way that we've done things historically. And you mentioned something just a few moments ago about balance, and that females might be a little bit better at creating some of that. In this year without men, how did you learn more balance?
Well, I think it comes down to, you don't even know you don't have balance if you're not valuing yourself. Because when we don't love and value ourselves, we think there's something wrong with us. Because if, you know, if you look at corporate America, you look at statistics alone, women and men graduated probably at the same rate starting around 1991, maybe even earlier than that. 30 years later, if you look at all the companies on the S&P, I think only 5% of the CEOs are women. How's that possible with women and men graduating at the same rate? Only 20% of board of directors are women. If men and women start at the same place at the same time at the same rate, men are twice as likely to get promoted, right? So if you're looking at all of that, and you're going to work every day, and you see men are getting ahead, and you say you're not making the money, and all this stuff, you start to see there must be something wrong with me. There must be something wrong with me if all these other people are succeeding and I'm not, right? So you're not even thinking about balance. You're feeling so bad about yourself, you don't feel like you have what it takes to compete in that world. So you just keep compromising and you keep going out there and you keep doing what you think you need to do to succeed. And all it does is it leaves you further and further from your authentic self, your most creative self, and your more successful self. So balance didn't come to me until I awoke to that. And I was like, wait a second, there's nothing wrong with me. I keep trying to compete in a way that's not authentic to me. And so I'm not telling everyone to leave corporate America. I mean, I love when women start their own businesses, but how can we value ourselves and know there's nothing wrong with us? And when we know that, we're going to speak up differently. We're going to show up differently. And then when you value yourself, you can say, this works for me and this doesn't work for me. And that's when I was able to see balance, because I was able to create this world that came from the inside out. So for me, that's the, you can't even get there if you're just looking at the world and just trying to kind of compete with a world that is not really working for everyone, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So also in this book, I want to talk about, when we get back from break, we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, I want to talk about, not only did you deal with these challenges of for the first time really being without men in your life, and all the heartache that you had to go through while you were having these realizations, while you're trying to create balance, you also had possible cancer, breast cancer.
Yeah.
And dealing with, you know, a large lump in your breast. And let's talk about the impact that had once we come back. So thank you for joining us here on The Spark. We'll look forward to rejoining Allison Carmen in just a moment.
Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune into Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you
so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What kind of excuse do you have in life? What's keeping you from chasing your dreams? Being legally blind has never stopped Emily Perry from pursuing her dream. As a professional speaker, trainer, and life strategy coach, Emily spends her career working to educate, support, and provide guidance. Tune in to the Human Is My Label podcast on TransformationTalkRadio.com and open your hearts to creating, supporting, prioritizing inclusivity, and encouraging the best of humanity and equity.
I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore Earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
So we're back here. Welcome back to The Spark. Thank you so much for joining us. We're talking with Allison Carman about her new book, A Year Without Men. And this book has really, wow, it's so powerful, Carmen. Thank you so much. Allison, thank you so much. I've known you for years. Allison, thank you so much for just being so vulnerable and sharing such a personal experience. And part of this personal experience that you went through in the midst of all of this, in the midst of dealing with heartache, all this pain, this new job and doing all these things, you found a large lump in your breast. Talk about that leg of the journey.
You know, it's so interesting, you know, that I always talk to people about uncertainty. And what was so interesting about this experience on a whole is I thought that I had gotten to this place where uncertainty was my best friend. If I didn't know what was going to happen next in my life, I projected things were going to be bad. They weren't going to work out. And so then I shifted it to uncertainty is my best friend, because what you don't know is usually something to so look forward to. And yet all year long, I was hit with these heavy things that it really challenged me. It made me see the places where uncertainty really still bothered me. And of course, you know, I couldn't believe during this whole year, I went to the doctor. I hadn't gone a really long time, and they found a lump. And it was just this long process where I had one biopsy that thought was okay. I had another biopsy, and then I had to have surgery. And through the whole thing, you know, having breast cancer was a real possibility. And so I had to deal with the uncertainty and all that stuff, and you know how I dealt with that piece. But also, I think the piece that really, I think I really discovered at that point is when the day I went to find out if I had breast cancer, and I ended up not having it. But I was sitting waiting for my results, and this woman, they pulled up next to me. She was in a wheelchair, and she didn't have hair and she was very overweight and she was much older than me. And I was suffering so much in that moment. I couldn't stand the fact that I might be sick, who would take care of my girls. And I was trying to kind of get a hold of myself. And when I looked at this woman, I was like, what right do I have to suffer? I was like, look what she's going through. Like, she seems like she's already sick. She doesn't have all her health. She can't walk. And then I remembered this beautiful quote. I wish I had it with me right now, by Viktor Frankl. And he talks about how suffering is just like gas and that it fills up the chamber, whether it's large or small, it doesn't matter. It's relative, meaning that, you know, we're all going to have suffering in our lives and we shouldn't judge it. And that's where we get into trouble. We judge what makes us feel bad. We say, well, I shouldn't be upset, but you are upset. And we have to allow ourselves, we have to love ourselves to say, I'm suffering right now and I'm upset. And this is what's filling up my tank, just like gas. And I remember just for the first time, I allowed it. I was like, I am suffering. My husband left me. I might have breast cancer. Who's going to take care of my kids? And I allowed it. I finally like relaxed into my body and maybe the gas just went through everything. And in that moment, after I was able to accept that I was suffering and people suffer, then at that moment, after 10, 15 minutes of it, then I was able to start thinking about other things. Like I started thinking about my practice of maybe and how there's always hope in the unknown, that maybe I could just handle it. Maybe everything would be okay. And I started thinking about gratitude and I started thinking about all these things that I believe in, but I had to allow the experience. And then I was able to open the window. And there's also this idea too, that when you're suffering, you could also still have pleasure. And there also can be beautiful things. Like even though I was going through this health scare, I still had my children. I still had beautiful walks. I still had beautiful moments. It's like sometimes the thing that makes us most uncomfortable takes over our lives. So how do we allow an uncomfortable piece in our lives to exist and still see the beauty? So that whole experience allowed me to be more honest with myself. I don't have to be perfect. There are things that are going to upset me, just to relax into my suffering. But at the same time, when I'm ready to open a window and find another way, and also when I'm suffering, to allow beautiful things as well. It was really one of the most poignant things that happened to me during the year. And to not have my husband there, not have that go-to person and have to stand on my own, that also, you know, built a lot of resistance. You know, sometimes you have to build the muscle of resistance, the muscle of strength. So difficult experience, but a lot of growth and just to get more real and honest about who we are and how to move forward with that.
Thank you so much. I feel like that, you know, you saying that gives people so much permission to be more fully authentic and to be more fully themselves. There's so many points that you were talking about right there that resonate so much with me. And I feel like is so much of the work I do with my own clients. You know, as a psychotherapist, when I've worked with people who have had someone pass away, let's say a husband they've been with 20, 30 years, or a wife that they've been with for a long time, or maybe even, you know, a few years, I think they go through that point of total devastation. And feeling like, you know, some of the things that you talked about in the book, feeling like they can't breathe, and then feeling like, well, I really shouldn't be experiencing any pleasure. I'm in suffering right now. Mm-hmm. And to be able to tell people it's okay. You know, it's okay to have those moments of joy. It's okay. And that it really is this mixed bag, if you will, of experience as you're going through it. And the other piece of it is to allow ourselves to be with the suffering, and that nobody else can dictate that for us. I think our friends or family sometimes are like, okay, I'm uncomfortable with this. Are you over this yet? I don't know how to talk to you about this. And there's a beautiful story I talk about on several shows, which is a kid's book that's really for grownups called Tear Soup. And in that book, it has this woman, this older woman who you don't know who she's lost, but she's lost someone. And so she's having to continue to add ingredients to this soup. And the point being, you know, she has friends come over and they're like, are you done with the soup yet? Or people like, I don't want to be friends anymore because the soup is taking too long. And it's really around allowing ourselves to have our own grief journey. And it sounds like you really got to that point where you allowed yourself the suffering, the feelings that we all try to avoid, and we know what we resist persists, and that you allowing yourself to be in that is what allowed you to transcend it.
Yeah, it was that moment. And without allowing how we feel, we never get where we need to go. And that happens also, you know, if you flip it into the business world too, it's like, we're, you know, women where we believe we're not allowed to feel at work. We're not allowed to turn to our coworker and say, I'm stressed, I'm unhappy. This is going on. It's like, how can we ever get to our greatest potential when we're covering up, we're hiding, we're making believe, we're not allowing. It's like, at some point you just have to just let go and say, this is me. This is me. This is who I am. And then when we do that, we start to process things. And what's so interesting too, when we process and we allow, we think we're going to fall into despair. We don't. What we do is we elevate at some point because we allow ourselves to feel, to process, and to have epiphanies and to have a higher consciousness. Like to me, I don't think I've ever felt worse in my life during that year, but I've also never felt so blessed, never felt so grateful, never understood myself more. And to kind of sometimes rise up, you have to allow it all kind of to fall apart. I always say, you know, when everything totally falls apart, it's also the beginning of everything coming back together. And sometimes in a much more sacred, beautiful, deep way. And so I think there's just a process to life. And as women, we're told who we need to be. And it doesn't really work. We need to be who we are, right? And then find a way to have that person go out into the world. Even though it's challenging, to me, that's the recipe for women to reach their full potential, you know, in the outside world.
Such a great message. I think that what oftentimes becomes the hardship in that is that oftentimes we have the media and different things giving us those ideas, giving young women ideas of what they should look like, how they should act, what they should be. And I mean, obviously this is nothing new. This has gone on for, you know, infinity. What would you say the new paradigm would look like if we were actually being more our authentic, empowered self?
Well, there are many elements to that, right? Because what the media does is the media makes, you know, is always talking about women's looks, right? So if we talk about that area, right? I mean, if you even look how they talk about politicians, like they don't talk about a male politician's look, but they always looks, but they always seem to talk about a female's looks. We're always told women how we should look, what we need to be, you know, all the models, all the Instagram posts. It's after a while, you get kind of confused and you're like, am I okay enough to go out into the world? And I have to tell you, that's one place that, you know, if I was going to go down the rabbit hole, when my husband left, I mean, he's with a 34-year-old woman. I could say, oh my God, I'm this washed up middle-aged woman. What will I do? And yet I remember I had this epiphany actually during this one of the months that he left me that a friend called me and he said, you want to get revenge? You want to get revenge on your husband? He goes, lose weight, exercise, and look great. That's the best revenge. And I thought to myself, really? That's going to be the revenge? That's going to be like where my life ends up? And I actually made an appointment at this holistic spa in New York City. And I was going to get holistic revenge because, you know, I'm very into organics. And I went to see this woman and she ended up being like this grand healer. And she wrote this book called Absolute Beauty. And when I went home that day and I started to read her book, there's a definition of beauty in Webster's dictionary in her book. And the definition of beauty is that which gives pleasure to your senses. And I thought to myself, wait a second, I've been plucking my eyebrows. I've been trying to fit in my whole life. And yet beauty is what gives me pleasure. And so that alone, like if you really have the strength and the savvy to do that, it changes everything. And even that day, I remember I went out and I was on this walk and I saw this woman come towards me and she was young and she was tan. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I'm supposed to look like that. I'm saying, wait a second. Beauty is that which gives me pleasure. And as I looked at her, I'm not saying she wasn't beautiful. I'm not saying my ex-husband to be wouldn't think she was beautiful or my brother wouldn't think it. But for me, she didn't give me any pleasure. And then I started to look at the flowers and then I started to look at the trees and I felt so much beauty in my heart. And so that's what we need to do in our lives. We need to figure out what is good for us? What is beautiful for us? What works for us? And that's when creativity happens. That's when value happens. That's when authenticity happens. But if every time you're walking into a room, you're thinking, well, do I look okay? Do I look good enough? You're going to walk into that room and you are disempowered before you even get there. And that's what my life was like. I was always disempowered before I opened up the door. And so this whole shift of how literally I see physical beauty or I see inner beauty was a huge shift for me. It wasn't the only shift, but when you start to see it, what gives you pleasure, it changes everything because the world is constantly going to try to take that away from you. But if you own it, then you own your power. And when you own your power, you own your value. And when you own your value, that's when you speak up when something's not right. That's when you start a business. That's when your career starts to flourish because you're not worried about anything else other than being exactly who you are.
Beautiful. Okay, we have to take another quick break, but I am so thrilled with this conversation. So many powerful, powerful things to help women and I think men who love women understand them better. Allison, thank you so much. We're going to be back. And for this last piece, we're going to be talking to Allison about what we as women can do now to start finding our voice, to really step into our power, to be empowered, and to take action in our world. We'll be right back.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune in to And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
Life can be demanding, and you may feel like you're constantly on the go, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Inspire, create, empower, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
And we're back. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Spark. I appreciate so much just the letters and emails. Love your comments. Love your suggestions. It's this beautiful Spark community coming together. I think that really helps us ignite one another. and such a big spark with me here now, Allison Carman, as we're talking about her book, A Year Without Men. Such an important book, a 12-point guide to inspire and empower women. So that's what I want to ask you about. So what are some of those points, Allison? What are, you know, these points that women can really start grabbing onto and really start saying, okay, I can do that. I want to model some of this in my own life.
Well, one of the biggest things, and I referenced this a little before, is that we have to deal with our relationship with uncertainty. Like, you know, because if you look at many women's path in the business world, it's not as easy as it is for men. It's going to be more uncertain. But if you're afraid of the unknown, you're always going to pick certainty. And we all know when we pick a life of certainty, it doesn't quite always work out the way we hope. There are twists, there are turns. We sacrifice so much just to have security and safety. And then often we find, like for me, it wasn't even there. It wasn't even there. So, you know, better to live your authentic, most creative life. But if you're afraid of the unknown, that's going to be a really difficult path. So, you know, I talk a lot about that in one of the chapters. And, you know, I believe very deeply in this idea of the maybe practice. And I believe that we can overcome our fear of the unknown, our fear of the uncertainty, and kind of flip it, where we see the unknown as kind of our best friend, where possibilities lie. So our relationship with the unknown, most important. Acceptance. That's another thing too. You know, if you're not on quite equal footing with everybody else, if you don't accept things very, very quickly, you're going to fall behind. So not an easy thing always. There's a lot of things that happen in life sometimes that are very difficult to process, but the quicker you accept it, the quicker you're going to be the first person in the room maybe to solve the problem. Self-trust. I mean, that's one that I could have been wiped out. I remember one night wondering, you know, did he cheat? Did he not cheat? What happened? And then I realized, like, if I became obsessed with whether I could trust another human being or not, I was never going to be able to have another relationship. I was never going to be able to go out in the world, because it was always going to be about what the other person was. And so when you just start to realize, like, I need to be able to trust who I am, and I need to be able to trust that I will be okay no matter what. You know, these are the types of realizations that you have. And when you start to have them, everything starts to change, because again, it's from the inside out. And, you know, there's so many that I had. And one of the other ones I'll leave you with is, you know, this idea of expectations. You know, I got to a point that what stood between me and a new life was my expectations. It was that my life was not supposed to be this way. I was supposed to stay married. I was supposed to share grandkids. We were supposed to retire. And we all do this. We tell stories of the life we thought we would have. And at some point, if we don't stop telling that story, we never get to reach our full potential, and we never get to make the most of what we have. You know, I don't know if the best is always happening or you have to make the best of it, but all I know is that expectations will wipe you out. And that's what I did. I started to let go of that idea that we have to let go and allow the life that we have, embrace it, and then start from there. So there are tons of realizations that I had, but those are just a couple. And my hope is that, you know, this book is just a hope. It's a hope that women will read it and they'll say, wow, you know, that's something I do, or that's something how I feel, or that's what I do at work every day. And look, Allison has a story about that. She has an exercise for me. She has a realization. She has an epiphany. And it, for me, this book was my journey. And this journey led me to this place of empowerment. I mean, even with all the pain, and I still have pain in my heart today, I love myself more than I ever have. And I value myself more than I ever have. So something happened that was elevating, right? Something happened to me that, even though I didn't ask for this experience, I was given it. And I really believe that my experience led me to a different place, a stronger place. And I hope that when women read this book, they'll have a similar experience. And you don't have to leave your man to have it. You know, people, like I said, they might choose to experience life without men or experience life with men. That's not the point. The point is, how are we feeling about ourselves inside? You know, and how do we empower ourselves from the inside out and then go out into the world and make a difference or pursue our dreams or our goals or whatever that might be?
It's so powerful. And as we shared, you know, we were talking about this before we started the interview, part of my absolute resonating with this book was just having gone through my own situation with having my partner leave for 3 months on his own spiritual journey to Central America. And so being, you know, absolutely in that brokenheartedness where it was this experience of being without him. And it really did trigger old abandonment for me, you know, from my own father, and brought me to a place that I probably would never have been at had he not have left. And also, like you, the resonant place being, as I went through my own grief process around this, I also was broken open in the way where that deep wound was able to actually have new breath breathed into it. And it was allowed to heal in a way that it hasn't, because I've avoided that pain my whole life, and done different things to distract it. So there's something very powerful about stepping within that pain, going through your grief process, and then the other side being this deeper place of self-love. And it's, I think that part of your empowering message is this, is that when we stop trying to find the external validation for who we are and how we are, and if we're lovable enough, or if we're good enough, and we really start, and for me too, it's cultivating that relationship within myself and with the divine.
Absolutely.
And being able to know that, you know, I've got me, I love me, there's the higher self that I feel connected to, or my higher power, the divine, that, you know, that's what it's about. When I can be a clear conduit for that, it's not that I want to be without men, and I definitely can't wait till my partner gets home. He's still not home yet. And sometimes when we are able to do this inner work, to take those breathers, we really can find out the stuff that we're made of and really step into, this is my own word, our own lovability.
Absolutely. Look, and I was forced into this experience. And I think that it's so much gentler and so much nicer when we're not forced, right? But I think a lot of us don't realize all the places we're holding back as women, all the places we're compromising, all the places we're just trying to get along, because we don't think there's another place for us to be. And what I discovered is there is another place for us to be, but we have to go deep within and love ourselves and feel valuable enough about ourselves to go do that. And when we do that, we don't realize there's so much more potential out there for us as women to run businesses, to be successful at work, to figure out a way to make our families work, to have work-life balance. There's a world out there that can work, but we have to start being really honest about what we're experiencing and love ourselves enough and value ourselves enough to make those moves. And it's a process, but I do believe that women are brilliant business people. They're emotional warriors. And I think we have what it takes to really become great leaders in this country and around the world. So we just have to be willing to see things for what they are and to be honest about who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Time for us to start stepping up to an either even more, you know, it, to a fuller extent into our own power. And I'm curious, you know, as a last question, Allison, well, that's not true. I have one more thing I'm going to ask you. But as one of the last questions, I'm curious about, so what would you advise for women who are very connected to their men, very happy in relationship? How do they do the deep dive? How do they maybe take, as we were talking about at one point, those blinders off that may not allow them to see themselves fully? And it doesn't mean, I really want to be clear here, just because someone's with a man doesn't mean that they're only getting their validation from a man, or it doesn't mean that they can't see themselves clearly. And I'm curious, how does a woman do that deeper work without getting into the narrative that I have to be alone or I have to suffer to get there?
Well, I think it starts from awareness. We all know deep down the places that we're compromising. We all know the places where we don't speak up at work. We all know the times we're so like aware of how we look that we want to like just kind of retreat. We all know when we're in a relationship that's not balanced. So like, that's where it starts. It starts with a big dose of honesty about where we're unhappy, where we feel disempowered, where we want more for our lives, and really what our dreams are. And when we start to be really honest about that, that's when we're willing to start making a change. And I really believe that we also have to believe that we can do it. Like sometimes, you know, you might have a thought and you're like, well, I can't achieve that. So what's the point of thinking about that? You know, you have to get rid of that language too. And that's why that idea of maybe, and going back to that fear of the unknown, right? The allowing of what we don't know is really where our lives can change tremendously. So we have to have awareness. We have to work on a relationship with uncertainty, and we just have to keep at it. Look, this takes a while. I don't think I would have gotten to this had everything not fallen apart, because I look like I was very successful. Look, I had a great career. I'm a lawyer. I had a great business. I've written books. I have a podcast. I had a family. Everything looked so great. Then when I had those moments, I kind of brushed them away. I was like, life's good enough. But there were so many places that I was in pain that I wasn't focusing on, that I wasn't aware of, that I wasn't willing to look at. And I think that so much more is possible for me, even if the choice is just to live with less pain and more joy. You know, whatever that choice will be, we don't always have to let everything in our lives go to make a change. We just have to be honest and aware. And so, you know, I wish I had was able to do that work years ago. I didn't see it. So I hope my book becomes a realization for women, that they could see those places within themselves without, you know, blowing their whole lives up and making changes, maybe even incrementally, or just figuring out what they really want and then going on their path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Allison, my final question for you is, what is the essential message? You've shared so many golden nuggets with us, so many beautiful golden threads. What is the essential message today that you want to make sure that the listening audience is hearing?
That again, that women are amazing businesswomen and they are emotional warriors, and so much more is possible in all our lives. And we just need to be aware of it, and we need to find a way to really value ourselves and love ourselves and trust what we feel, trust what we believe, and stop listening to all the noise on the outside world. And your dreams are real, and your thoughts are real, and your intentions are real, and what you want for your life is real. And it just, sometimes we have to reassess the dialogues that we have within and figure out a way to do it differently. And I believe so much more is possible than we even know.
The book is A Year Without Men. Allison, thank you so much. How do people get a hold of you? How do they get a hold of your book?
Well, my book is available at all major bookstores and online retailers. And I have a great website, AllisonCarman.com, where you can read my blogs. And I have a great podcast, 10 Minutes to Less Suffering, which is available on all the major platforms. And I also have another book, The Gift of Maybe, which just focuses on the idea of uncertainty.
And check out my past archives if you want to hear an interview with Allison about that book. So yeah, that's such a phenomenal book. Allison, thank you so much for being here. You're such a blessing and such a light.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy to be here today.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.